You're listening to the Sparkle on Mama podcast, where it's all about positivity, power, productivity, and reclaiming your gorgeous mama sparkle. And now your host, life coach, Michelle Reeves.
So today I'm delighted to be joined by full-time mom turned beauty entrepreneur, Maxine Laceby. Maxine is the founder of Absolute Collagen, which is a powerful anti-aging liquid high-grade marine collagen that fights against the visible signs of aging and supports skin, nails, hair, and joints from the inside out. So welcome to the Sparkle on Mama podcast, Maxine.
Hi, Michelle.
So I'd really like to start out by asking you to tell us a little bit about how you got started in business, because I think a lot of the listeners today will really relate to your story. Because you haven't always been an entrepreneur, have you?
No, definitely not.
So tell us a bit about how you got started with Absolute Collagen and what you were doing before that.
Okay, so first of all, I had my first daughter. I gave up work at about 26 years old. I'm now 51. So I was out of the business, out of the employment for a long, long time, especially in today's how technology moves really fast. So my journey, and by the way, I would like to say I was a completely happy stay-at-home mum and I would do it again in a heartbeat. So my journey to 50 saw me really taking an interest in what was going on inside my body, not just actually externally, but not internally so much, but also looking at how that affected the outside. So first of all, I stopped dyeing my hair and I went grey, and that was just such a liberation. It was unbelievable. And then in the background, I was sort of looking at what I was putting in my body. So I was looking at bone broth, and a few of my friends were taking bone broth, and I thought, oh, that sounds exciting, I'll give that a go. So I started drinking, making my own bone broth and drinking it. And within a couple of weeks, my friends were going, what are you doing? You know, your skin looks amazing. And I didn't twig it first. And then when people kept asking me, I thought, well, I wonder what it is. So I thought, okay, it's got to be the bone broth. So I researched a bit further and looked into what it was in the bone broth that was sort of making me feel and look so amazing. And I narrowed it down to the collagen that was in the bone broth. And so I then started cooking up. So I'm talking about late 2016, the only source of collagen I knew was from chicken feet and pig's trotters. So I was cooking up large vats of chicken feet and pig's trotters in my kitchen, much to my children's disgrace. and I was extracting the collagen. And I sort of became known as the collagen dealer, and I had mad, crazy women banging on my front door for collagen. It was hilarious. And all my friends kind of started taking it that way, really. I personally then thought, I don't know if I'm happy putting so much, from an animal into my body because of mad cow disease and pork, you know, bovine porkine. So I started researching a bit further. That's when I discovered marine collagen. So when I looked at marine collagen, one of the advantages, other than the fact I wasn't, you know, I'd be happier putting something from a fish in my body, was it had a better bioavailability. So the way your body breaks marine collagen down is far superior to any collagen. So I then was about to start dealing in fish skin. When I found marine collagen hydrolyzed. So I started buying in hydrolyzed marine collagen. Hydrolyzed meaning that it's been broken down to such a small molecule that it gets into your bloodstream. And that's really how I started. At that point, I knew nothing about marine collagen supplements. I was just on my own journey. I then sort of just started from there. I then contacted the local environmental health and said, this is what I want to do. I don't know what I'm doing. Please help. And that, I think, has been one of the things in my favour, is I've always asked for help. I'd rather leave a meeting feeling slightly embarrassed that it took me a long time to get my head around it than to leave not knowing at all. So I will always put my hand up. And I think that's being a mother. I think that's something we are incredibly good at, is saying, hang on, stop, what do you mean? Because we have to know when it comes to our children. So I feel that every skill I've got in my business has been learned by being a mum, undoubtedly.
That's fantastic. And that I'm hoping, you know, anyone listening today, that gives you so much, you know, self-belief and the feeling that you can do whatever it is you set out to do. And it doesn't matter that if you don't have business experience, and it doesn't matter if you haven't been in the corporate world or been an entrepreneur. None of that actually matters. What matters is to have that self-worth and understanding that your own skills are what can take you forward. And that's fantastic that you had that kind of self-belief, Maxine. And, you know, I'm really interested in understanding a bit more about kind of the challenges that you had when you got started, because in our the Sparkle Mama manifesto that we use as our guide in the Sparkle Mama community, one of the beliefs that we hold as truths is that we create our lives courageously with exciting dreams and achievable goals, but we take massive action, because having the goals and the dreams is nothing without taking the action. So kind of really interested in knowing a bit more about what was most challenging for you about tuning into sort of your new goal, if you like, of setting up Absolute Collagen, and how that came about. So where did it change from becoming sort of a kitchen table business to becoming what it is today?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'd just like to take a really quick story. When my daughter was about 4 years old, we're driving in the car, and we were talking about, she was saying to me what she wants to be when she grows up. And I said, well, you can be anything you want, my darling. The only thing you have to remember is you have to believe in it and you have to make it happen. And she looked at me and said, a horse. I want to be a horse. Which was just hilarious. But my children are very much brought up, if you want something to happen, you have to make it happen. And how did that, when did it go from kitchen table to business? I guess when, because at that time, I didn't know there was other collagen supplements out there. I thought I was going to be the first. I still didn't find that challenging, because I believe I could see that there was a business for this product. First of all, I had complete first-hand experience that it worked. That was my main thing, was I wouldn't be doing it if it didn't work. It does work. And technology is always, you know, having not been to work for 26 years and not, I mean, I didn't write a check for about 20 years when I was married to my ex-husband. I didn't book a holiday. I did nothing. You know, I lived, and don't get me wrong, that was my choice and I would do it again. I concentrate on the children. Not everyone has not everyone can do that, and that's what I chose to do. So technology has been and still remains massively challenging for me. My eldest daughter said to me a couple of weeks ago, Mummy, you okay? And I said, yeah, why? She said, you don't leave the house anymore. And then last week, that progressed to, in fact, you don't move anymore. You know, I just sit at my desk. You know, and I'm very fortunate that this time in my life, I'm able to do that. So what might take my daughter or somebody who has been brought up with technology, simple 10 minutes, it might take me an hour to get my head round. So lynda.com, I love. I'm always watching, you know, if I want to learn about Facebook campaigns, I go on to Lynda or any other tutorial, and I sit and I learn and I listen. I'm not a quick learner. When I went to uni to do my art degree, I was diagnosed with ADHD and dyslexia, which is absolutely hilarious, because it figures. My children say, oh my God, that's why, you know, I can't walk across an empty room without getting distracted. But I see that as a quality, because I have to think around everything. Because things don't come easy to me, so I'm always having to think of another way around. And I've seen that as a real benefit. I don't see anything negative. Everything I see is positive. And I'm very much one of these people, when people say, is your glass half full or half empty? I need one drop and I've got something. And that's, I've always been that way. So to find myself in the beauty industry purely by default, first of all, I felt a bit of a fake because I haven't been to university. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a beautician. However, I employ people to do the services that I can't do myself. So because my product's ingestible, I have to make sure that all the microbiology testing is done. So I employ somebody to do that. And so that is my biggest asset, is being able to recognize the things I'm unable to do myself. There's always somebody out there that can do that. And I am not supposed to be an expert in every field. And I think as women, we give ourselves, especially as mothers, such a hard time because we feel that we've got to be great at everything. That's kind of where I'm at right now, really.
And I absolutely love that because there's loads of nuggets already that you've just thrown out there and I know are going to be so useful for people to listen to, because, you know, I hear it time and again with my clients that it's not so much the goal or the dream that they don't have, it's the self-belief to get there. And I love the thought that, you know, you could see that there was a business idea and that you had the belief in it, because having that strong belief in the product is kind of the most important thing, really. You can't sell something you don't believe in. But also that you were able to overcome, you know, your own sort of personal issues, like maybe with some dyslexia and ADHD, being able to overcome that and use that and not use it as an excuse to stop you from moving forward, but to embrace that and say, okay, well, that is just the way things are. So what am I going to do to get around that? I think is a very powerful thing, because as you say, so often people will say, well, I'm not an expert in X, Y, and Z. I'm not an expert in business. I'm not an expert in the internet. I'm not very good with technology. Therefore, I can't live my dream. And I certainly don't believe that's the case. And like you say, you know, we do often as women believe that we have to be an expert in every field possible, and it holds us back. And really, I think that's some of that is to do with perfectionism and very much, I don't know how you feel about sort of social media and media in general and how that's created that image of perfectionism. I think some of that is starting to change. But as, you know, create a sort of a beauty product now, how do you feel about that sort of images of perfection in the media and how that might affect women?
I suppose that coincides with my own journey to 50, really. I've always been very fashion conscious. I've always wanted to keep myself up with whatever I was supposed to look like. But my journey to 50, and in conjunction with my art degree, I did this piece where I stripped myself bare of all makeup and everything. And that's when I let my hair go grey. And it made me realise how desperately insecure I was, because I spent 3 months wearing no makeup and I couldn't look people in the eye.
Mm.
So I then had a tattoo done saying I'm more than just a body. I had completely skewed. My thinking about myself was completely skewed. I failed myself to look in. I was only looking at my external and judging myself on that. And I don't know if that's an older woman thing, but that art piece I did really made me realize how insecure I was about how I looked. And also, yeah, I mean, social media plays a massive part. And I say to people, I've got my own, I've got a blog, maxineownsit.com, and I'm very much own who you are. And I sort of, you know, I say on there, I don't want to look 21, 31, 41. I'm 51 and I'm really, really happy with where I'm at. And that, even saying that, sounds quite bizarre to me at the moment, because I'm 4 stone heavier than I normally am, because as the business has grown, I've grown, so I've not been moving. But, you know, I used to be 2 pounds overweight and hate myself. Mm. Now, I just embrace everything about myself. Now, I don't know if that's age. I don't know if that's my art project. It's probably a combination of everything. And there are women that want to look 21. And I'm like, yeah, great. Whatever works for you. You know, I've got two beautiful girls. It's their time to shine. You know, I shine in my own little way. So, yeah, I'm very accepting of everything about myself nowadays. And, you know, going back to business, I am not brilliant at everything. That's okay. And I think certently, you know, for someone starting in business, as a mother, we expect so much of ourselves. And there, I was reading an article a while ago from the Guardian Small Business Group. And again, I've done a blog on maxineownsit.com, and it says what makes an entrepreneur. And every single thing they listed, I could do because I was a mother. I'd learned how to walk into a room, scan that room, as every mother has to. You walk into a room with your children. If you're walking in and they're at a party or something, you have to go into that room and scan it and make sure. You have to feel everything, you know. And if you're going into your house, if you've been out for a couple of hours, you have to walk in and look and make sure that that pond is still very still. And if it's not, why not? So I think we have amazing skills of mothers that we can take to business that we're unaware of.
I completely agree with you. And I think it's something that's really, that women overlook is those skills. And I think also some of the softer skills, they call them softer skills, yeah. But really it's the communication, it's the interpersonal skills that we have, that we have to have as mothers, that often get overlooked. Yeah. So, but there is always another side to business as well. So I'm interested to know, you know, and as it is it's often that the mental side of that holds us back rather than anything else. So I'm interested to know what, if any, self-limiting beliefs you had that you had to overcome yourself when you either recently or when you started your business or as the business has started to grow.
Well, I suppose the biggest, one of the things I've majorly learned, and I'm so glad I learned it, was I don't have to know everything there and then. So I'm in a meeting. In fact, I've had a couple of Skype calls this morning and I've just been able to say, okay, I'll get back to you on that. Because before I felt like I had to know the answers to everything. And what I know now is if I leave something in my head for 24 hours, 48 hours, that is the best asset. If I don't know the answer, it will come to me. Sometimes I just need to give it time in my head to think around it.
I love that, because quite so often we feel like we have to rush headlong into everything, yes, don't we, and make decisions, and that everybody else in the room knows the answer, so we must know the answer. And it's not true, is it? I think it's lovely that you give yourself that space and grace to let answers come up. Because so often we don't rely on our intuition, do we?
No, I have to. And, you know, I've been speaking to somebody this morning about some Facebook campaigns we've been doing. And she said, what do you think we should do about this, this and this? And I just said, look, just give me 24 hours. Because what I think about it now, and what once it's been in my head for 24 hours, suddenly there'll be a light bulb moment. And I'll go, oh, God, that's it. But it's great to have that. I'm not my own boss, so I can do that. You know, and that has been massive for me, realizing that just because sometimes I don't think on my feet because it's not warranted. Sometimes a decision's you need 24 hours to make that decision.
Absolutely. Yeah. And obviously the Absolute Collagen has expanded recently as well to include a men's product, which is very exciting. And so that's obviously taking the product into a new area, maybe sort of in an area where you haven't perhaps got absolute sort of personal knowledge of the impact of the product. So tell us a bit about your decision to move into that area and how that felt, having to maybe almost release a bit of that control of knowing and go into the unknowing a bit.
Yeah, it was never going to be for women. And then I had quite a few men say to me, what about, I was thinking, yeah, what about you guys? Why shouldn't why shouldn't I be, why shouldn't there be a beauty supplement for you? And one of the things that really opened my eyes and had such a huge impact on me, and I think it was Maybelline did the advert with the guy with makeup and a beard. I just thought it was so beautiful. And I mean, I grew up with a gay guy, and God, we used to have fun. And why shouldn't a man, gay, straight, or whatever, be not able to have the same opportunities that we have? And so the Stud Box, Absolute Collagen for Men, was really about, yeah, because a lot of my women were saying, my boyfriend uses mine, you know, and then he'll take it home and he's got this very feminine looking box in his bathroom. So I thought I'll give them their own box. So yeah, the Stud Box, and that's going really well. Very exciting. We just, I was on the train to London last week when I learned that we were voted in the top 7 male grooming products in the world by GQ.
Wow, I mean, that's fantastic.
And it just, yeah, I mean, it's all, everything I've done has grown organically. And that's another thing I would say, don't force things, you know. You've got to give things time. You know, if I'd have had 1 million sales on day one, I'd never have coped. So, and that is another thing in business, actually. If somebody has said to me a year ago, 2 years ago, you'll be, you know, dealing with a business with this amount of turnover, I think, oh my God, how can I do that? But it's not happened. It's grown organically. And I think that's so important. Again, somebody said to me recently that, you know, about me, myself, being a key figure within this industry. And I said, if it happens organically, it will happen. And that's really important to who I am. You know, I don't believe you should or can force anything. I think if anything's forced, I think it shows and it doesn't feel congruent. And the one thing about me is I am very congruent, and you know, that's very dear to me. You know, I have to, yeah, that's kind of very important.
And I think it's something that we often, or women often, and men as well, I guess, don't often give ourselves permission to have that congruence in what we do. We feel there's too much should and not enough, you know, what people really want to do and what they feel passionate about and what fits with their values. And I wonder, I think sometimes people don't even know what their values are because it's not something that we're taught about, is it? And I know when I'm working with my clients, one of the first things we do is look at their values and yeah, really try and understand what's going on underneath, you know, those values, because that is what makes us really be congruent and have balance in our lives, isn't it? Which is so, yeah, so important.
You know, and something I would say about myself is at 25, I handed my life over to my ex-husband, and I was that was my decision. I was happy with that. And as I said, I didn't write a check. I did nothing for 20 odd years. And that was fine money at that time. And then suddenly I realized that, well, I suppose when we split up, I didn't realize how capable I was, because I think as a woman, you, certainly from my point of view, I'd made decisions, but maybe didn't realize that I'd made them. I thought everyone else, I probably thought my ex-husband had made them. So when I left my husband and I was, you know, on my own with the children, I realized how damn capable I am, because I think as women, again, we don't shout about ourselves. We don't shout from a great height, I'm brilliant at this, you know. And I truly believe, you know, my ex-husband was a very successful businessman. Everything alongside that had to be successful too. So even me, I was kind of managing that situation. I think there's lots of great, great women who don't realize how incredibly great they are. And sometimes it's not until you're faced with adversity that you actually realize how incredibly capable you are. And what I would say about what you just said about, you know, your own morals or what makes you up, I think that's incredibly important. And when I found myself alone with my children, I started realizing exactly who I was, and I started recognizing my own morals, my own conduct. And I've taken that into the business. And there's been a couple of times when something's happened and morally, I've done the right thing. It might not have been the right thing for business, but morally, it was right for me. And I truly believe that.
Because at the end of the day, that's what makes us sleep at night, isn't it?
My head hits that pillow every night, and I'm 100% happy. I've, you know, that I'm doing the right thing. And you've got to live with yourself. You've got to sleep with yourself. So I always believe in doing the right thing.
That's so, and it is so very important. Something else that I think is often really important for women starting out in business, or even just with any personal goals, is to have a personal support community that they can call on, you know, when life gets messy and difficult, as it does. So I'm interested, tell us a bit about your personal support community and how that serves you.
That's very interesting, actually. I tend to keep myself very much to myself, and I had this conversation with my daughter recently. I'm adopted, and I don't know if it's come from there, but I very much tend to rely on myself. However, I have got a couple of really, really good friends that I will reach out to and run something by them. They're very few, and I think as you get older, they get less. Which is a good thing. But ultimately, my decisions are mine. So, in fact, someone said, my one friend said to me the other day, dealing with you is like dealing with the Chinese. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you discuss something, we agree, you go away and do something completely different. And because sometimes all that is, I might be discussing it with them, but I'm saying it out loud. But my decisions are always my own. So I might get two or three friends, ask their opinion, okay, I appreciate that. Go back, think about it, then make my decision based on little nuggets that they've said, but ultimately it's my decision, yeah. And I think that's really important. It's important to have that sort of soundboard, if you like, and have that support, you know, support to say, now and again, somebody to say, do you know what, you're doing a really good job, well done. You know, we don't need a lot. Just a little bit of recognition sometimes. And I think the biggest recognition for me ever has been my children being proud of me. That to me is worth it more than anything in the whole wide world. You know, I can see that my eldest daughter, who's involved in the business, I mean, my children have, I mean, this isn't, I've done sort of about 5-6 years ago, I had an idea, which I won't go into now, but I ended up taking them to China for an elastic band. So my poor children have actually sort of been halfway around the world based on mum's ideas. But, you know, they believe in me too. And that's brilliant.
And also, they're learning a lot from you, Maxine. And I think that's something, that's another... another area that we talk about in the Sparkle and Mama community, and that I talk about with my clients, is being the role model that we want to be for our children. And it doesn't matter what that role model is. It doesn't matter if we're going to be a stay-at-home mum and we're going to be the best stay-at-home mum that we can be, or if we're going to run a business, or if we've got other dreams, or, you know, we want to learn to drive and we've never done that. Whatever it is, it's kind of thinking ourselves as role models, and that we are really modeling the way for our children, and our children watch what we do and not just what we say, don't they?
Definitely. And, you know, something I'm absolutely passionate about is mistakes are important. You know, I've made mistakes and I've learned from them. My children will continue to make mistakes, and that is okay. They're supposed to make mistakes. Give them a break, you know. And it was funny, my youngest daughter, she's coming up 18. She said to me a few months ago, oh, living in this house, boring. There's no rules. And I said to her, Margot, there are rules. You make them. Because they've been brought up with self-respect, and I do give them a very, very free rein. Do you know, and she looked at me and she went, oh my God, you're right. I said, yeah, you make the rules. And, I mean, she wanted a tattoo. I went, go and have a tattoo then. Has she had one? No. She wants a belly button pierce. Okay, go on then. Has she had it? No. So I'm very much about empowering the girls to make decisions for themselves based on self-respect. You know, somebody said to me recently, you know, your girls are quite amazing. You know, what do you give them? I said, self-respect. 100%. You know, they might make a decision that is a decision I wouldn't make. But as long as they are happy with it, they can stand by it, and They know that occasionally they've got to get it wrong. That's how they learn. Then that's okay. So all we're doing with our children, all I feel I'm doing with my children, is preparing them to live without me.
Yes, and that's a really interesting. It's a really interesting area, the whole area of failing, isn't it? Because so often it's fear of failure that holds us back. But very much we talk in the community about failing is just about gathering knowledge. It's about learning what doesn't work.
Yep. Definitely. And I do think it's so important. I think we're really hard on ourselves. And I am, you know, I was somebody that was very hard on myself. I mean, I built I knocked down a house and rebuilt it on my own with the children. Yes, I had a builder. And people said, how did you do that? And I said, well, you just write a list and work through it. Nothing is really that hard work. Someone said to me, what they say, it's really interesting. Business shouldn't be difficult, but it's hard work. As you know, there's always stuff to do in business, but it shouldn't be difficult. It shouldn't be complex. And if it is complex, there's, you know, I'm not terribly good with certain things, so I hand that over to somebody who's better.
And I think another thing you've alluded to there, which I think I'd love to get your perspective on, is, you know, you talk about writing a list and working through it. And often I find both with women that I work with, and, you know, you hear about it a lot, is sort of prioritizing and people feeling overwhelmed and having so much to do and not knowing where to start. So, you know, obviously you're running, you know, really successful business now, and there's probably a million and one things that you could do in your day or that you're asked to do in your day. How do you go about prioritizing what's important?
Okay, so my life pretty much is work. You know, I'm a single woman, which I choose to be, and my children are pretty much independent. So my life by my choice is pretty much work. You know, I've done all my partying many years ago. I've lived a very colourful life. I'll do it again in a heartbeat. But right now it's all about the business because I choose to. And so first of all, it would be prioritising. Yeah, I mean, look at your day. What really, really needs doing? And, you know, pick three things and do them really, really well. You know, so I've got my top list, which is the lady didn't get her order, or I've got to do something with my shop. So technical stuff. So they're my priority. And then the things that that are always ongoing, like your adverts, you know, things like that, they're sort of always on the back burner. So yeah, I suppose if you can get overwhelmed, but again, I've probably learned. If you'd have spoke to me maybe a year ago, then I would have been overwhelmed. Whereas now I've learned not everything can be done in one day. That's absolutely impossible. My list is never finished. And again, if you said that to me a year ago, I'd have probably been overwhelmed just by that sentence. But now, today, I realise that as long as the really, really important stuff's done, the rest can just filter through. And no one's going to die. You've got to into some kind of perspective. You know, unless someone's dying, does it really, really matter? You know, I think you're... Yes, things matter. You know, you can't go letting people down in business, and you can't go letting your clients down, and I get all that. And so, you know, but in the big scheme of things, sometimes I go to bed thinking, I didn't do that. Okay. But I'm human. I'm only human. Even lists, sometimes you forget to put something on the list. And talk about lists, I have loads of lists everywhere.
I'm a big list maker myself, so I totally relate to that. I'm a big list maker. I'm a big believer in lists, actually, and I'm a big believer in pen and paper lists. Yeah. I don't think everything has to be technology. I think there's something very satisfying about writing something down and ticking it off. I don't know whether you agree with that, but that's certainly the way I feel.
But funnily enough, I'm always forgetting my friends' birthdays, always. I'm renowned for getting birthdays. So what I'm doing now is I'm celebrating everyone's birthday on the 1st of February. Because then I can't forget. And I do, I'm terrible. You know, I can write it in, I can have it on a list, I can have it on my computer, I can have it on my iPad, I can have it in my diary and still I will forget, because, which is a bit naughty of me really, but I suppose it's because business is priority.
And I think talking about, that's quite an interesting thing that you've brought up there, and talking about business versus life and that kind of work-life balance. How, with so much going on in your life, how do you make time to focus on your personal needs, sort of your self-care and taking time out for you? Because it can, you know, when we work for ourselves, as I do as well, your life can be your work and work can take over. And that's great if you're loving it and it's nourishing you and it makes you feel fantastic. But sometimes it can become sort of, you know, something that we feel obligated to do, and then we can fall out of love with it. So how do you make sure that you take some space for the other things that you love doing?
Okay, so I used to run, and I love running. It's running is my thing, and I've done marathons and tough guys and all the rest of it. Since I have been growing this business, I don't run anymore. And so I have a dog who needs to go out. I tend to walk with her. And I think I'm at that point now where I have to start thinking, okay, Max, you need to make time for yourself in a day, even if it is just, you know, 20 minute, half an hour. As I said earlier, you know, I have lived a very self-centered life in the past. I had a very good childcare. And, you know, so I feel that now I'm right where I'm meant to be. I love art. Art's definitely my thing. So I'll pick up an art book. I've got lots of pieces of art around. I love going to galleries. My art degree, I started my fine art degree, and then the business really took off. So I would like one day to get back and complete that, because that is definitely for me. And I've got some fantastic sort of ideas that I'd like to work with. And, you know, seeing, making time for friends is really important. Even if it's just a quick coffee, or my daughter and I went to London last week, and that was lovely. And we're going again in a couple of weeks. For me, it's about spending time, quality time. Even if it's just, I find meeting my friends for breakfast is the best, because it's first thing and you still got the whole day ahead of you. That you haven't got that break there in the middle of the day, or we'll go to the pictures. So yeah, I'm pretty aware that I probably should be spending a little bit more time on me, but I feel that the business is me. So it's a double-edged sword, really.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I certainly find up my, that they kind of, I have peaks and troughs with it. So sometimes I'll be completely absorbed with what I'm doing. If I'm doing a launch, or if I'm working with some particular clients, I'll be completely absorbed in that. But I often find when I get to that stage that there will be a point when I really need to go back and focus on me again. And it will overspill if you don't kind of have that time for yourself. You will notice the impact on yourself and your business.
You know, definitely. And, you know, I'm very fortunate. I don't do the school run anymore. Both my children drive. So my day is really long, which is fantastic. So I don't have to stop and pick the children up from school. And, you know, they are pretty self-sufficient. I mean, my eldest daughter wrote a cookbook at 16 because mother didn't cook. You know, I was too busy building a house. So she can cook. Both my children actually are fantastic cooks. They'll come home. They'll just get on with it, you know. So, yeah, I mean, time for yourself is important. I have some very close friends that really will let me know if they don't feel that, and the cracks will start to show, you know, because I'll get ratty, or, you know, I feel like I'm chasing my tail, and then suddenly I realise, you know what, you've done nothing for yourself for a while, Max. It is important. Otherwise, the business suffers because you make mistakes.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, it's that knock-on effect, isn't it? And we talk about filling ourselves up and letting everything that you filled yourself up with overspill into the rest of your life, rather than filling everybody up from an empty cup, because at some point it's going to get right to the bottom and then nobody's getting full. Your business, your family, nobody. So yeah, I completely relate to that and totally agree with that. So I think that's fab. So just, you know, obviously, you know, we're coming to the end now. I'm really interested to give you a chance to tell us a bit about Absolute Collagen and why it's been so magical for you. And, you know, is it just for women of a particular age? I'm in my mid-40s now. You know, is it appropriate for me? Who's this product actually for?
Yeah, well, okay, I'm 51. I decided it was a product for me. I looked at the product and I thought, okay, this is now can be turned into a business. What do I want? I wanted a product, firstly, that worked. I wanted it to work. I wanted it to be as easy as possible to take. I wanted it to be convenient. I wanted it to be maximum benefit, minimum dose, and I wanted it to be cost effective. So I created a product for me, really. So I'm 51. So I would say, you know, your collagen levels start depleting at about 25. So as soon as you get 25, you really need to start putting it back in some way. So what I find, I've got two clients, really. I've got the clients of my, anybody of 14 plus that sort of take it because they feel they need it. And then you've got the younger sort of clients that anybody, we can now see that women, especially women, more and men, are starting to get to their mid-20s and they want everything. You know, they want the boobs, the lips, the this, the that. And so my market is a lot younger than I thought it would be, to be honest with you. We've got 8,000 milligrams, 8 grams of collagen in each dose. So we are the maximum collagen in the minimum dose. It's ready mixed. You don't have to keep it in the fridge. It's in a sachet. You can throw it in your handbag, throw it in your office desk. You can take it on holiday really quickly, and it really is just taking it. So it really is a very broad spectrum of clients.
It's fascinating, isn't it? And I know I've got a sample that I'm going to be trying, so I'm really interested in giving that a go and seeing the impact on me, because it does sound like such a great product. So Maxine, thank you so much for sharing your inspiring story with us today. I've learned so much and I feel like there's so many little nuggets that I want to pull out there. So I'm going to be doing that in the after show for our listeners. But I've enjoyed listening to your story and I'm sure everyone else has out there too. And I'm sure they're also going to want to find out more about how they can connect with you. So tell us how they can find you on your website or on social media. What's the best way to connect with you?
Okay, so www.absolutecollagen.com. My email is maxine@absolutecollagen.com. I've got a blog, maxineownsit.com. And that just quickly, it's only the last 3 or 4 years that I've totally been myself, because I always felt I had to change to be something other people wanted. And what I found is the more I'm myself, the happier I am. And the better every single thing, you know, seems to go. It's incredible, really.
Fantastic. Thanks so much again, Maxine. It's been a pleasure having you on the podcast.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Michelle.
Wow, what a fantastic interview with Maxine. I loved hearing her story and some wonderful lessons that I learned from listening to her. I hope you did too. Things like that every skill she's got in her business, she learned from being a mum. What a wonderful lesson. And also what she says to her children, which is, if you want to make something happen, you have to make it happen. I also found it really interesting that technology remains massively challenging for Maxine, but she doesn't let it hold her back. And also that her biggest asset is that she realizes she's not supposed to be an expert in everything, that you can delegate the things that you don't know to other people or take some time out to find out before you make a decision. I'd love to know what the lessons were that you took from this interview. Do get in touch with me. You can email me at michelle@michellereevescoaching.com. That's it for today, and in fact, this is the last Sparkle on Mama podcast for this series. I hope you've enjoyed the last 20 episodes, including interviews with some amazing women, and that you've learned some tips along the way from them or from me that will help you to live your life with more positivity, power, and passion. If you'd like to learn more about what I do as a life and mindset coach for women in business, feel free to head over to my website, michellereevescoaching.com. Bye for now.